former NHL head coach, of course, head coach here in the Edmonton Oilers, was assistant coach with the Detroit Red Wings, and is now the CEO and president of Hockey Canada, back where it all began. Tom Rennie joins us. Tom, congratulations. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I am excellent. Did you ever pull that one out in one of your coaching conferences, the old Jules Winfield?
I can't say that I have, but thanks for playing it because now I can use it.
Oh, man, Samuel L. Jackson's a beauty. If coaching was only that easy, right, Tom?
Yeah, that's exactly right, but we won't go there.
Tom, you've been a coach for a long, long time. And, you know, coach, as they say, it gets in your blood and it's hard to get out. You started out with Hockey Canada. Actually, you know what? You actually coached my brother when you were coaching at Hockey Canada. He was telling me great stories about you earlier today when I was prepping for have you come on. And now you're back with Hockey Canada where it began in a much different role. Obviously, the role excites you. How hard was it to give up coaching?
Well, you know, it was difficult, but it wasn't. I didn't lose sleep over it. You know, I have a pretty clear conscience with all of this, and quite honestly, I think back in the day when I was, you know, along my journey, which has been quite interesting. I was a provincial project coordinator with BC Amateur Hockey, and then when I was let go in Vancouver and came back to Calgary, I ended up working with Bob in Hockey Canada as a VP Hockey Operations. You know, so I got another taste of it there. And then from there, went to join Glenn Sather in New York and was a director of player personnel. And then beyond that, only because he was gracious enough to pay me more, he thought he had to change the title. So he made me vice president of hockey or player development. And so I had a little bit of exposure, I suppose, to the game away from the ice surface. And it was probably especially with Glenn that I really kind of identified with almost the management side of the game, quite honestly. And so it was in the back of my mind as something when my coaching career was going to wind down, I actually wanted to be the one to make that call. I didn't want someone to say, Tom, you're done. It's just, you just can't do this anymore. Some would argue otherwise, and having done that a long time ago. But that being said, that's why I didn't lose any sleep over it, because I recognize that this was on my terms, and really this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, as many have suggested to me.
I'm guessing you had lengthy conversations with Bob Nicholson as far as kind of what the whole overview responsibilities of this gig entail.
Initially, no. I sent him one text after I'd spoken to Kenny Holland. I sent Bob one text and asked him if he thought this was something I should have a look at. And he just texted me back and said, I like your thought process.
Nice. So I guess, you know, a lot of people out there are like, well, you know, they think the president and the CEO, you know, is really hands-on as far as the teams go. You have a part definitely when it comes to the Olympics and World Championships of hiring the coach and stuff like that. But what's your main responsibility, Tom?
Well, I work for the volunteers. I work for a volunteer board. I work for a volunteer chairman. I work on behalf of all the people that play, coach, administer, manage, officiate the game. You know, it's that simple. It's a pretty broad brush, mind you. But at the end of the day, I'm responsible for you know, how we deliver, you know, the game to 4-year-olds and 5-year-olds and 84 and 85-year-olds.
Yeah, and that's really the key is, you know, the game of hockey, Tom. You've been in it for so long. I'm sure you've seen how it's changed and altered. What's going to be, I guess, your philosophy moving forward as far as, you know, how you want to continue the growth of Hockey Canada?
Well, let's just grow our people in the game the right way. You know, we obviously want as many people playing hockey as we can. You know, my preference is that it's not a 12-month of the year, you know, game for us. I think we've got to maybe diversify and allow other sports to be a part of a kid's life for sure. I think it's all about development. It's all about making sure that initial foyer, if you will, into hockey is a positive one. You know, because of good organization, good coaching, you know, parents that recognize that they're the parent of, you know, 16 or 17 kids on the ice, not just their own. You know, and just realize that we've got to make the rink a destination at any level, whether it's we're talking about high performance in an Olympic team or, again, you know, those kids that are just trying out hockey in terms of discovering it for the very first time. And I think that's what's critical. Let's just develop the game properly and do it with a code of ethics that becomes second to none and allow the participants to actually play this forever.
Tom, having coached the game as long as you have, you know, there's been so much of an onus on defensive play and defensive play, and I get that at the NHL, it's about winning. You know, Brent Sutter came on, and he felt, you know, he was concerned that, you know, in Canada, we're kind of restricting the growth of our young kids' abilities by putting too much emphasis on system plays early on. Now, how can Hockey Canada get that message out that we've got to go back to skill development, not so much system development?
Well, quite honestly, if we, and I'm sure there are a lot of entrepreneurs out there that do exactly the same thing, you know, in developing their little hockey programs or whatever, but the initiation program is designed to do just that. And if we follow, you know, that guideline and recognize and embrace the idea behind its purpose, it is all about two things: making sure that the rink is a destination and a fun place to be, and the acquisition of skills in order to play it for a lifetime. And there's all kinds of information. The program is designed to take kids all, you know, from their very first steps on the ice through a series of programs of skill development that do just that. So Brent's right on the mark. I think that, you know, we have to develop skill first in order to, you know, to enjoy the game for as long as we possibly can. And we do place a value on team tactics, if you will, and not just that, but practically traveling halfway across the country to play games in order to do that. And I'm not sure how necessary that is either.
Yeah, the travel, that's been a big concern, especially now when they look at that, how important rest is, you know. And if you have 13 and 14 and 15-year-old kids playing games where they're not getting home until midnight and then expecting them to go to school the next day and be productive, you know, all the stats say that that's really not going to work.
You know what? Great point, Jason, because, you know, we have a sociological problem here, you know, in Canada and North America, around the world, really, for that matter, in terms of what we pump out for kids that are deficient their emotional control, if you will. I think when you look at some of the things in the game that concern me, safety is being one of them, and obviously we can go right to concussions and talk about that forever, but the other one is the emotional safety of players. And we just look at the crime out there, look at the abuse that exists in our society, and abuse against women, verbal abuse that coaches might, force upon a player, parental expectations and those types of things that are putting a lot of pressure on, you know, young players that just want to go out and play and have fun and enjoy the game, when in fact they decide it's just, you know, it's another thing that they sort of pile on their lifestyle that, you know, creates a difficulty. And, you know, so they go out and they lash out and they do different things that are not conducive to a strong, purposeful, ethical, functioning society. And I think hockey can be a vehicle for doing a lot of things right, and helping really help develop the character of our youth, if you will, to the point where we have as if we don't already have a terrific society here in Canada and one we can be proud of. I'm not blaming hockey for anything. I'm suggesting that it's a great vehicle with which to continue to impart the sort of a code of ethics, if you will, in terms of how we function out there, and the best way to do that is through playing it.
Tom Rennie joins us, the new president and CEO of Hockey Canada. Tom, for you, I guess, you know, you roll up the sleeves and you get into it right away. As the president and CEO, do you make presentations to each individual association at times, or is it just provincial? How will you try to get your message directly to the grassroots level across the country?
Well, yeah, Jason, I think the big thing here is to recognize an outstanding staff, here in Calgary for sure, but also in Ottawa and Toronto and in the branch level, the provincial levels across the board. All have terrific people to help deliver the message. I really and truly want to get out and get to each one of the branches and spend time with, you know, those people. I want to get into as many rinks as I possibly can and be visible, but for the right reasons, and that's to send the right message. That's impossible to do in year one, so I guess I've got a lengthy contract. Just kidding. But that being said, I think the big thing is to get out there, you know, and do everything you can to not just, be seen, but to be heard.
Tom, when you're a head coach, most agree that you're hired to be fired at some point. This role, not the case, right? You come in and, you know, it's about building something. And in this case, really continuing on where the growth of Hockey Canada has gone. I'm guessing it's got to be a different approach for you where, you know, it's not all about the next game or the next day. It's much more about the bigger picture. And for so many years, not looking ahead too far, now you probably have to reverse your sight, do you not? And look far ahead rather than just worry about the next day?
Well, I think there's some truth to that, no question. I will tell you that in as much as it might have been wrong, I actually tried to coach with the future in mind in all three of my head coaching gigs. You have to deal in the moment at the National Hockey League level, obviously, but I also really tried to prepare and put people in a position to continue to grow and develop and be a long-term asset, you know, to our club. This is the same sort of vision, if you will, and even over an elongated period of time. But I'll look forward to, Jason, your support, you know, at Christmas time during the World Junior Championship and the World Championships, in the spring and the Olympic Games when they come up, when the heat's on and we're struggling away or whatever. And we'll see if you're, as open-minded then as you are now with respect to the longevity of the position.
Well, you know, it's always interesting. I find that actually in one-game tournaments, we have a tendency, some people, to get a little overboard on it where, one bad bounce and you can be out of the tournament. And that doesn't necessarily mean anybody did a bad job. It's just in hockey, that's what makes it great. In those tournaments, because it's a different format, the one game in a semifinal, obviously Canada wants to win every year. But as the other countries improve, I think, unfortunately, it's unrealistic to think we're going to win every year at every one. We want to, but to think we actually will is different.
It is, and yet that's our passion, right?
Yep.
I mean, it's no different than baseball and football and basketball, in the States. This is very much a part of our fiber, and I'm glad for that, and I think you are too, that we're that passionate about it and just love the game so much. It means so much to us that we can embrace those moments in time where we can feel some real ownership for how we're doing, and I think the big thing, and that's all good, by the way, Jason, I think the big thing is making sure that there's sort of a trickle-down effect from that whole observation of the game to the point where we bring it right down again to grassroots hockey and making sure that people attach themselves to the game for the right reasons. And there's nothing wrong with being competitive. There's nothing wrong with wanting to win. There's nothing wrong with having to deal with a loss and make it right. All that kind of stuff is real good because, really, at the end of the day, it's so symbolic of life.
Tom Rennie joins us. Tom, now that you've got the job, I guess the under 17s is the first event that you'll be part. Do you go over to Slovakia in August for that?
I'm not sure. I've got, as you can imagine, I'm just sort of putting things on my plate now. So I'm hoping that I can. If I can't, I'll certainly make some type of an appearance with their program, or with that program, I should say. There's also the under 18. There's the World Junior Camp coming up. There's a number of different things that are on the horizon for me. Far be it to be able to get to all of them, but safe to say too that I'm deeply committed to our high performance programs as I am the development program. But I certainly recognize where all this starts, and that's with young people.
Well, Tom, congratulations getting back to Hockey Canada. Been over two decades since you were with them. Enjoy it, and we'll talk to you often.
Thank you, Jason. It's great to talk to you.